Let's just start with prayer. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, that you never give up on us. You always hope, you always persevere, you always are calling us into your good plans and purposes for our lives. So Jesus, right now, give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you. Lord, pierce our hearts with your word so that it can call us back to being that new creation that you want to create within us in your name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, water baptism service, that always reminds us of that. That old person's gone and the new one's raising up to life, right? And then as Becky had shared, even if you've been water baptized 10 times before, I am not very religious about this. If you feel compelled by the Spirit that you need to proclaim again, even if it's to yourself, that you are putting to death that old self, we welcome you up, you know. So next week, that's happening right here, right now. But this morning, I felt like the Lord wanted to address an issue with us, and that is the topic of freedom. Thank you. Yeah. Freedom, 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 freedom. The Lord has paid a high, high price for us to live a life of freedom so that we are not bound by anything. Totally, completely free person. And I'm going to touch a little bit on something that I talked about. It was a revelation a few years ago about how we are creatures. Literally, we were created by God, but we are creatures of habit. And we were created for good habits. We were created within these crazy rhythms of life. You know, these rhythms of life that we see all throughout God's creation. You know, we see it in music, you know. Whether you got rhythm or not, it's there. You know, music is designed and created around rhythm. But, I mean, this simple reality of night and day, and that rhythm, night, day, God ordained it. And, boy, this earth just keeps flying around, and every day it keeps happening. And yet every day he does the same thing, but every day he does it in a new way. The sunrise and sunset, every single day the sky is different, even though it's the same. And it's these crazy paradoxes that only God can create. There's a rhythm of the seasons, right? We're transitioning, you know, as we speak. We go from spring to summer to fall to winter to spring to summer to fall and winter. And if you live here in Pennsylvania, as I'm sure most of you do, you get that all in one day this time of the year. You get to experience all four seasons in one day. It's interesting. Rhythms, you know, you plow, you plant, you harvest, you plow, you plant, you harvest. While you're getting ready to plant your gardens again, or maybe you already started it and you got started plants in the house, you know. I mean, my goodness, rhythms of life. We wake up, we work, we play, we sleep. We wake up, we work, we play, we sleep. And I always remind my kids, you got to work hard before you play hard, okay? There's a balance there, you know. You got to keep your priorities straight. You know, I mean, just the way we exist. Birth, childhood, adulthood, and then children again. Birth, you know, childhood, adulthood. And it's just this cycle that just goes on and on and on, this rhythm of life. You get hungry. You eat, you exercise. You get hungry, you eat, you exercise. You get hungry, you eat, you exercise. And I'm working on that last part. I get the hunger and the eating part down, you know. Not burning it off as much as I should, but, you know, more so, you get thirsty, you drink, you pee. You drink. Me with tea is awful. It's like instant, you know. And it's like, why do I keep drinking this, you know? But I'm so thirsty. And it's a vicious cycle, right? But there are so many rhythms of life that we find, countless rhythms that God has created all through his creation. The entire universe has these rhythms that you can follow. Most of them are good and beneficial and God-purposed. They're there to lead us into experiencing a fuller and more abundant life. If we neglect one part of these rhythms, our life becomes unbalanced and we sense it. We become bitter, unhappy, discontent. If you feel that way, it's probably because one of those rhythms is off. You know, if you get day and night mixed up, if you ever work shift work and you have to switch from one to the other, people get a little grumpy when they do that, don't they? Any spouses of shift working people? Yeah. Get a little grumpy, a little bitter, you know, and whenever things are a little off like that. You know, we won't go there, but if you get hungry and you eat and you can't go, it gives you a little bitter or uncomfortable, right? There's a good rhythm, a healthy rhythm in life, and you need them all. If you neglect sleep or if you neglect play, you know, you become miserable. You wear out quickly. Your body and your mind start setting off all kinds of alarms that you need to get back in the healthy rhythm. Your body, your mind will tell you, listen, you need sleep. You need to play a little bit. Stop working so hard. Start enjoying the life that God gave you. It'll tell you. You know, if we don't work, our body and mind does the same thing, longing for fulfillment and purpose in life. If we set aside proper routines and times for any one of these three, then we live without the peace and contentment that God has purposed for us. But if you get these three, you know, sleep, work, play, I forget who the guy was. I think he's a labor union guy. He's like eight for all three, you know, 8 hours. 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play. And, you know, you actually feel a little content and happy and, you know, peaceful in life. It's amazing, this one little rhythm and how much it affects us. So these are good rhythms that God has purposed, but there are also rhythms that we can get ourselves into, that we get caught up in, that are destructive and that steal away from our life. We have rhythms of bondage. You see these throughout the scripture. Actually, bondage, addiction. We'll talk about addiction first. Bondages of, rhythms of addiction. We see this often in life. You know, you've got this trigger. Whatever it is. Usually it's emotional. You got some kind of trigger in your life. And so you crave, you know, this thing that you're addicted to. You use it. And then it's like, oh, yeah, this is good. And then you feel guilty because you did it again. And so that triggers you. That triggers you. And then it goes round and round and round and round and round. And it's a rhythm and it's destructive and it's awful. And it's stealing your life. And you just want to break free at some point. But at every point, you just find yourself getting caught back up in your old rhythm. And that is how you end up addicted. You're relying. And we can talk about obvious substance abuse. But man, we get addicted in this world to things that, you know, people think are good. We get addicted to work. And you neglect the other ones. You know, there's a lot of things in life you can get addicted to. Social media. I mean, come on, you know. I know my daughter was fasting TikTok, you know, and my goodness, you wouldn't think it would be hard to do, right? She's over there working at Demeo's right now as we speak, so I can't even pick on her for it. But anyways, rhythms of bondage. You know, this is something we see in the scriptures that God's people deal with often. You know, you face some kind of difficulty in life, and you want to go back to, and of course we think about Israel and their trip through the desert, you know, with Egypt, and they want to go back to what's comfortable. This really is the cycle of religion. You know, you face difficulties in life, you just want to go back to what's comfortable, do what you always did before, you know, but then you realize that things weren't all that good back in Egypt, and you sense the negative things, and so you want to walk forward into freedom. But then whenever you walk forward into freedom and into the unknown, things get difficult, and so you just want to go back. And for some reason, we are always drawn backward in life. This isn't from the hand of God, because God has purposefully and intentionally created our lives to only be able to go forward into new things. It's a new day. His love is new. His grace is new. His mercy is new. But we don't like to embrace the new. We like the comfortable things of yesterday, all right? And there's all these rhythms that we can get caught up in. And our souls long for freedom. However, we're often uncomfortable paying the price for freedom. Because the price of freedom is responsibility, right? This is a great quote from Ronald Reagan. With freedom comes responsibility, a responsibility that can only be met by the individual. Nobody can do it for you. If you want to walk in freedom, that means you have to own up. You've got to own up. You've got to take responsibility for your own freedom. Nobody can do it for you. Because if I'm doing what someone else tells me to do, the results fall back on them, right? Right? If I'm doing what I freely choose to do, then the results are my responsibility. The results are my responsibility. That's the cost of freedom. In fact, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, and can read through the whole chapter. It's good stuff in there about this paradox of freedom. Paul writes and he quotes him. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything's beneficial. I have the right to do anything. Man, in America, we love our rights, don't we? Our rights. I got the right. You got the right to do it, but not everything's constructive. We see that with a lot of political issues of the day. Just because the government says you got the right to do something, that doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's beneficial. Doesn't mean it's constructive. And that's the interesting thing about the freedom that God gives us, is that he gives you total, complete freedom. But that freedom doesn't come without responsibility. And we always think about that in a negative sense. But think about that. Because you are a free person, and because you can choose to walk in freedom, you can also choose blessing. There's a positive side to this. You get on the healthy rhythm of life, you can benefit blessings, abundance from these cycles, from these rhythms, if you choose to do what's right with that freedom. You see, God saw the destructive rhythm within his people, and he always desired to break them free from these cycles. He wanted to get set free and to stay free. Therein's the challenge, right? All of us can gain freedom for a day or two. It's staying free. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's the hard stuff, the challenge. He wanted to get his people in a cycle, in a rhythm of freedom. So he made a covenant with them, right? We talked about this. A covenant that was based on a shadow copy of the perfection that was in heaven. That wasn't working in the old covenant, you know. It was good. There was nothing wrong with it. But it just wasn't working. You ever find yourself like that in life? I mean, you're doing what you feel like you're supposed to do, but it just isn't working. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good that you're doing, but we can get ourselves caught up in life doing a whole lot of good and accomplishing nothing. The enemy loves to tempt followers of Christ to do good things that you're not called to do. And you're going to just wear yourself out and feel miserable because you're not fulfilling the purposes that God has purposed you for. You know, you're going to feel the weight of that. So that covenant, the old covenant, wasn't working. Because instead of worshiping the Creator, they kept turning back and worshiping created things. And we still do that today, don't we? We still idolize, worship created things. And that's really what substance abuse is when you stop and water it down and think about it. Right? You're laying down your life to this created thing. You're wasting yourself on it. Instead of wasting yourself on the Creator, which is what we were designed and purposed for. But God chose to form a new covenant available to all mankind. And if you haven't noticed, we're going to be reminded of that covenant here shortly. But there is so much of this covenant. This covenant is a chain-breaking covenant that can pull God's people out of Egypt, out of their bondage, and set them on a new rhythm of freedom. And that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us today. Because each and every one of us have something unhealthy in our lives that we keep turning back. We keep turning back to it. But God has something better in store for us that he's leading us into. And we find, you know, these scriptures here, Hebrews 8, Paul's just quoting from Jeremiah 31. And I'm going to start here in verse 7 from Hebrews 8. This new covenant that God has chose to create. Paul said, "For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, then no place would have been sought for another." Right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the old saying, right? That's kind of what Paul's saying. If it was working, then there wouldn't have needed to be a new one. But it says here in verse 8, "But God found fault." Was it with his word? Was it with his promise? No, God found fault with the people. We're always the variable in the equation of God's promises. We always are. Take note of this subtle but critically important phrase here, because I've read this many, many times and studied it, and I never really caught that God found fault in the new covenant, and it wasn't with the covenant itself. It was with the people. They couldn't do it. They didn't get it. Their hearts were right for a season, but then they'd get pulled away by other gods, by other things, by they would actually, this is the crazy part about us as human beings. The number one thing that would draw people away from God is good times of blessing. That's when they would get pulled away from God. When things got miserable and they were oppressed and hungry and thirsty, guess what? They were calling out to God. They weren't calling out to Baal or, you know, Molech or any of the other gods that the rest of the world was following. They would cry out to Yahweh. But when things were good, who needs him? We're good. We can do this on our own. We got this, right? The problem with the first covenant wasn't the covenant or with God. It was with people. And people still are the issue today. We cry out to God for salvation, and we say we're going to turn away from our wicked ways. How many times have you done that? You know, that's why I don't like the altar being just an emotional place. The altar is also an intellectual purpose place where you say to the Lord, you know, forgive me and lead me into your ways, and you repent and you do it. You know, this isn't where you get put to the test, though. Where you get put to the test is outside of these walls, out in life. That's where you get drawn back away from him. Because God would save them. He would bring them all back together. He would bless them richly. Then they become content and selfish and turn away from him and turn away from his ways once again. And guess what God does? God honors your choices. God doesn't send anyone to hell. He just honors your choice to reject his salvation. He honors your choices. And if you say, you got this on your own, you don't need God. And trust me, we may not verbalize that, but our actions speak way louder to him than our words do. How did he say it biblically? Their lips praise me and honor me, but their hearts are far from me. What do our actions speak to God? Do they speak, we are desperately dependent and relying on you for everything? I don't live on bread alone, but on every word of God. Or do they say, I got this, I'm good. Because God's like, okay, you're good. And he just removes his covering, and that's all he has to do. It's all he has to do. This world that is corrupt by sin takes care of the rest. He would honor their choices, let them walk away from him. Then without God, things would get bad. So they'd cry out for salvation, and they'd turn away from their wicked ways. And that cycle of bondage, that rhythm would begin again and again and again. And God finally said, enough! I'm tired of this. What is wrong with you people? Do you know how God said it? He said, you stiff-necked people, if I go with you for even a day, I'll kill you. That's what he said. That's what he said to his people as he was leading them out of Egypt. Whew. And Lord, I know. I know what I put you through. So he finally said, enough. And then he said this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It won't be like the covenant that their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. What an awesome picture. You hear that in a song that we sing pretty often because our songs are based on the word. He takes you by the hand and he leads you out of your bondage. He saves you, he delivers you, he heals you, he does everything he needs to do. He does it all. He personally leads us out of bondage. And then he lets us enjoy that freedom to do as we choose. And eventually, God's people always chose to turn away from the God who took them by the hand, and they would go back. That problem wasn't God or something, it was the people. It says, because they didn't remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned away from them, declares the Lord. So it's time for something new. We know the problem. We recognize the problem. We feel it in our own hearts and spirits and souls. We know. We know we're the issue. So in verse 10, God says this. This is the covenant that I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. And just in case you're wondering, we are living in that time. We're living under the new covenant. The new covenant. Where God did everything because we couldn't. This is the new covenant I'll establish with people. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Relationship. We talked about this last week. Forget about the law. Now we got relationship. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they'll all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Whew. That's a powerful verse right there, thinking about that. God chooses, God never forgets, but God chooses to remember your sin no more. When you go lamenting and asking and begging and pleading with God to forgive you for the person you were yesterday, he's like, that person's dead and gone. You're a new creation. Let it go. Got something new for you today. Let it go. It says in verse 13, by calling this covenant new, in quotes, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete is outdated and will disappear. And then we learned about that last week. God has passionately desired to do away with religion, with people just knowing rules. Do not touch, do not handle, do not taste. And then following them and being a cookie cutter of a person. God wants our hearts, our hearts. He wants all that we are. All that we are. No longer would God's people walk by faith in a God that they were just taught about, that they just heard about. They would have a direct relationship with Him. The veil has been torn. You don't have to go through a priest to have him intercede. You can go boldly before the very throne room of heaven, not in some shadow copy, straight into the heavenly realms. Boldly and confidently, and present your request to God. Why? Because you are covered. Covered, not by your righteousness, but by Christ's righteousness. Not by anything you ever did right, but by everything He did right. Oh, and I could go on and on and on and on. Through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, His ways are written on the tablets of our hearts by Him. Not on pen and paper that can be argued with intellectually, but spirit and flesh to be personally witnessed. We are eyewitnesses, and people can witness Him through our lives. Through the Holy Spirit, we are called to be witnesses. Not students who learn, but people who experience, who have encounters with Him. We are not just set free from some physical bondage, like is in the case of Egypt. God led them by the hand. We are set free, and we dwell with the Spirit of the living God within us, His very presence, which is freedom itself. God has placed freedom within your life. Everything you need to be set free from anything that this world keeps you up in, you have the power to overcome. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. There's freedom. Everything you need to be free is right here within you. And trust me, this is not some New Age how-to dummies book. This is the Spirit of the living God. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. You can only stay free for so long. But through the Spirit of the Lord, you are empowered to be set free. And who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. It's an active, always true freedom. Not just a one-time event. And yes, we still have freedom. That means we have freedom to choose bondage. That's why Paul says, do you just keep sinning so that sin may abound? No! Stop it! Stop sinning! It's pretty straightforward, right? But he can say that because we have the Spirit to set us free. But now we have boldness and confidence because we can. We have been empowered to choose. We have been empowered to choose. We have the Spirit of God within us to guide us and to lead us always by the hand, always into freedom, and always into His righteousness. The Lord, He took His people by the hand in Egypt and led them out. His hand is always within you, and He's always guiding you and nudging you to that way out. Just because you've tempted doesn't mean you've sinned. Jesus was sinless, and He was tempted in every way that we are. But He always took that way out, always took the way out. And through the Holy Spirit, we also can take that way out. This is what we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse, I'm going to read 4 to 18. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. something we need to encourage ourselves in. Have courage, be bold, be brave, be courageous. You're not pushed around by life anymore. You're not a victim of your circumstances. You're a victor through Christ. Victor. We have confidence. And this is a really reassuring word. Paul reminds us in verse 5, it's not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves. We know on our own we can only get it wrong. Even our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. We know it's not ourselves. We're not competent in ourselves to claim anything. But we are competent. And he says, because our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers under the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. He has made you competent. You can claim it. You can boldly declare it. You can walk in it. Not because you know what to do, but because you're following the Holy Spirit who's going to make you competent. Whew, that gives you boldness. I don't know about you all, but whenever I'm learning a new skill or a new trade, I go into it with fear and trembling. I'm scared to death. I'm afraid I'm going to screw something up. You know, when I first got out of high school, I worked for this Department of Defense contractor, and I was working with really sensitive, high-tech, very expensive equipment, you know, and I was horrified that I had to solder this thing. Like, are you kidding me? You know? But we can go into it because our confidence and our competence and our strength and our ability, it doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God within us. It's exciting. If you really stop and think about it, it takes all the pressure to perform off. It takes all the pressure to perform off. Because it's not you, it's him. Christ in you. And verse 7, he says, now the ministry that brought death, which was engraved on stone, it came with no glory. So that the Israelites couldn't look steadily. Oh, I said it came with no glory. It came with glory. It came with such glory that the people couldn't even look Moses in the face. Why? Because he's beaming. Having come from the presence of God, that glory of the Lord. It says, though transitory it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Remember Moses, he put on a veil, not just to not freak out the people because of the glory that radiated from his face. That veil also covered the fact that the longer he was out of the presence of the Lord, it would begin to fade. That glory would fade. We get to be lighthouses. You don't ever fade because you don't go in and out and in and out of the presence of God like the great high priest one time a year. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within you. Every day you go from glory to glory. You get brighter and brighter as you put to death that old self and you raise up as your new self. Every day is a day of freedom and newness. Woo, it's good. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory we possess. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses. Oh, I talked about this and it's already here. Sorry, Lord, got ahead of you. We're not like Moses who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Their minds were made dull. And to this very day, that same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because it is only through Christ that that veil is taken away. Even to this very day, when the law of Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit. To where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, we all reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into His image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So just like the glory of the Lord, the freedom of the Lord, does not need to be a one-time encounter. It can be an everyday experience. an everyday experience. It doesn't have to fall on us and then fade away. We don't have to walk out of those chains and then feel them dragging behind us as we walk and always wanting them. We get to walk free of them entirely and completely. Entirely and completely. We have the divine opportunity to walk in continuous freedom. And we get set free, not only to be set free from God and by God, but we get to stay free by God. We can boldly break those chains of bondage and oppression and shame and condemnation and leave them behind us once and for all. Demolished, broken. We don't only get to break that chain, but we can transition from that chain to the chain of freedom that gives life. And you kind of picture, you know, like Tarzan swinging through the jungle. What happens if he holds on to that vine? Right? He just goes back. And if he just hangs on to it, what happens? Eventually, it fades, and he's going to grow weak. He's going to fall. But if he swings from vine to vine and always grabbing onto what's new, grabbing onto what's unknown, grabbing onto what's uncertain by faith, he just keeps moving, right? And it's an adventure, and it's fun, and it's exciting to watch. And horrifying because, you know, if you've ever, I don't know if you grew up, you know, I grew up in my, you know, there's a bunch of huge vines, you know, and I used to swing over ravines and stuff, and I showed my kids when we moved back in, and I'm like, where I used to do that, and I'm like, please don't do that. That's just a busted arm waiting to happen, you know? But this is breaking the chains. So often we think of just breaking the chains, and then what do I do? Breaking the chains is really a matter of letting go of the chains and grabbing onto something new. That's what we're purposed for, letting go. Chain of addiction and bondage, grabbing onto something new. You were created to swing. You were created for rhythm. You were not created to just sit there and just be a lump until you die. You were created for a purpose. And so that is how you break the chains of addiction. That's recovery. Recovery is letting go and trusting God. No idea where it's heading or what's going to happen. And we were just sharing this morning a little bit about that feeling of free fall when you know it's coming. It's scary, but it can be exhilarating when you realize that God has something there for you to grab onto, that you're not just going to fall and die and break your neck. You got something else to keep you going, to break the cycles of death and the transition to cycles of life. It is dependent on what we choose to grab onto between those steps of these cycles. It's kind of like swinging on monkey bars, you know? Swinging on monkey bars. When you're on the bar of difficulty or the bar of your emotional trigger, the only difference between freedom and bondage is what you grab onto next. Remember those cycles? The transition between every one of those cycle points is an opportunity. People call it a way out. God has created a way out. Every single part, every transition of that cycle, you can break free from that rhythm and transition into a new rhythm of freedom. You can, but you got to choose what to grab onto. Really, it's just to grab onto the next bar that brings freedom. Freedom. You know, are we going to be like this kid that just keeps going around in circles and circles and circles and you just keep grabbing onto that? Or eventually you're going to grab onto this one and step off of it? And be free, right? Because as long as you keep doing this, you're going to wear yourself out. Eventually, you're going to fall, and you're going to need someone else to pick you up. But if you just keep grabbing on to the things of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, and there is freedom in that, and there is strength in that, and it starts getting exciting, and you don't grow weary, and you start to trust more and more and more, and it's exciting. It's awesome. Got to grab on to Him. Instead of grabbing back onto that addiction or even putting our hands back onto that familiar bar with both hands, right? You're on that familiar place. I know what this is, and I'm afraid to move forward, right? That's all of us whenever we first started. Well, I can't say all of us. My one daughter, she just took to the monkey bars naturally, but me and my other kids were like, I don't want to let go. I don't want to let go. No, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. It's like, no, you're not going to. Just reach out. child, it's okay. And they reach out like, okay, okay, I got it. It's like, you got to let go. You got to let go to move forward. Oh my gosh. Has God not ordained monkey bars? That is our life. We're a bunch of monkeys that refuse to let go and move on. Move on to what's ahead. He's calling you, but he won't force you. He will just keep calling you and encouraging you, and he'll say, let go, let go. I got you. You're okay. You know, that's what I always have to tell Nate. Nate, I got you. Like, oh, got you. You're not going to get hurt. Just move on. Reach forward. Like, oh. What a picture of us in our relationship with Christ. It's so easy to go backwards because it's familiar and known, but you can only hold on to that bar for so long before you fall and get hurt. The first reach, that first bar is the toughest, right? It's toughest to let go. And in fact, the longer you hold on to that, the weaker you become, and even the harder. That's the ironic part of bondage. It steals, kills, and destroys from your life. The longer you hang on to it, the harder it is to let go and to move forward. Right? It requires more and more and more trust and strength and faith. The longer you hold on to that addiction, the harder it is to gain freedom. But after you taste and see how good that bar is, how good the Lord is, obviously, the more fun it actually is. This is actually fun. I can actually do this. I can do this. Oh my goodness. Then the next ones become easier and easier. And you don't want to hang on to what's behind. You can't wait for what's ahead. And then you're calling everybody, hey, come check this out. Look what I can do. You know, and then you're like starting to swing around and have some fun. And you know, you're on top of the bars and you're under the bars. And just, yeah, you can climb on the side of the bars. And you find out all kinds of new things you can do. And those things used to terrify you. And now they're a place of fun and freedom. That's the kingdom of God. It's fun and freedom. But you gotta let go and hang on to him. It takes faith. Oh my goodness. And then you start getting actually strengthened. And the more and more and more you play on that thing, the stronger you are. The longer you can endure and persevere. And it just becomes a joy. It becomes a joy. This is another, you know, sort of, that's me now when I try to get on the monkey bars, by the way. I tell myself I can do it, but what happened? Come on. It's like Weenie Hut Jr. over here, you know? another example, learning how to ride a motorcycle. It can be very intimidating at first. Very intimidating at first. You know, you're a bit shaky, you know, jumping onto that thing. And, you know, even when you learn how to ride, every single turn, every single curve is horrifying. Like, you're thinking it through in your head. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And it's like, it's counterintuitive because on a motorcycle, to turn, you have to get up and you have to lean. And everything inside of you, don't do that. You're going to fall, but you have to. Because if you don't and you try just turning it like a bicycle, you're going to fall and crash and it's going to hurt. It's so counterintuitive, you know, and you're horrified at first. And the first time that you're out riding on your own, you have to really think through and calculate every single curve. And then you start learning, like, I took that too fast, I took that too slow, I need to speed up here, I need to, you know, lean in more, and just, you have to, like, think through it all, and then you come up to a slow stop, and you're like, okay, don't dump it, you know, you're slowly letting go of the clutch, and you're pulling the throttle, and oh my goodness, you're thinking it through, like, every single step, and you're horrified, and you're terrified, because you realize what could happen, and you do make mistakes. It's interesting. The more you think about making a mistake and tell yourself not to, the more often you actually do make mistakes. Because that's what your mind is set on. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what fear is, right? Although usually it lies to you, so fear is a bad example of that. But, you know, you just get in your own head. Then, the more that you ride, the more that you learn, the more that you experience, the more comfortable you get with it. You begin to actually control. And it's no longer you're afraid of what that bike's going to do. It's you can control the bike. You can manipulate it. You know how your bike responds and what you got to do to make each maneuver. And you can take those maneuvers with ease. Fear is still there, but fear is no longer in control. It's a healthy fear. It's no longer you trying to control the motorcycle. It's you and the motorcycle kind of becoming one. And it's the same when you work in like big machinery, you know, and you're working those controls. It becomes like almost an extension of your body. You just learn it. You can do it. You can control it, you know. Then you transition from being a bit nervous of getting on that bike to daydreaming about the moment that you can jump back on it, right? I know the days I'd ride my bike into work, it's like, oh, come on, just get over, because I just couldn't wait to get back on it and get out there, you know. It becomes, you know, something that you enjoy, you know, and instead of being afraid because there's nothing between you and the road, you start actually enjoying the fact that there's nothing between you and the road. It is just a feeling of freedom. A feeling of freedom. You anticipate that freedom of having nothing between you and God's amazing creation surrounding you, you know, and you just enjoy it. What used to cause you fear and trembling, now you just enjoy. And it just comes from time and experience. That sign up ahead of you that used to terrify you, warning you that there's like a U-turn coming up, and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? It would cause panic. I shouldn't have taken this way. I got to avoid this. Once you learn how to ride, it actually causes eager anticipation because you can't wait to hug that turn and take it as fast as you can, you know, scraping your foot peg the whole time, you know. That sign that used to cause fear now causes excitement and eager anticipation. And it's no different in the kingdom of God. Those circumstances, it used to be like, oh God, this is going to break me. What am I going to do? Now you're like, oh God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this. This is going to be good. It's going to be good, right? That sign up ahead that's warning you about fresh oil and chips, well, you read it a little differently when you're on a motorcycle. You avoid it. It's not good. You don't want to try it. You know, and it's no different than our relationship with God. Sure, there's a healthy fear of Him, but it's a different kind of fear as you build relationship with Him. You still know that He could destroy you any second. You still know you deserve hell. You still know all these things, but you get to know Him. And it's a different relationship. There's a cooperation that takes place as you become one with Him. You find freedom! You can talk to Him about anything because He already knows. And that's not a fearful thing anymore. It's a reassuring thing that I am known by God and I know Him. It's a reassuring thing. His word's not a bunch of thou shall not. It's a map of thou shalls that guides you into complete freedom, into the greatest thrill of a ride. And it's got gas stations posted just at the right time to keep you filled up for the haul. And it's like this from Jeremiah 31. He tells us to set up road signs, to put up guideposts, to take note of the highway and the road that you will take. That's also found in Jeremiah 31 that we just read from. This is freedom. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. In fact, that's the one thing that we find recorded that Jesus prayed for you and I. That like that motorcycle, like you on the monkey bars, you become one. You would become one. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, my prayer is not just for those His disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Has anybody here believed in Jesus because of the message of the gospel? Yeah, if you believe it, believe their message. Pretty cool to think about. Centuries, this message, the gospel has been passed down and passed down and passed down. Jesus prayed for us that all of us would be one. Jesus said, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them glory, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So yes, difficulties are going to come in life. Difficulties are going to come. Your triggers are going to get pushed. Your triggers are going to get pushed. Even Jesus was tempted in every single way. The difference is, what are we going to choose to grab hold of? What are we going to choose to grab hold of? There's a choice laid before you and I today. It's not just a choice, it's an opportunity Jesus wants to set you free. He doesn't want you to be bound anymore by any created thing. He wants you to have complete freedom to live the life that He purposed you for. What are you going to grab onto? Temptation's going to come. Jesus never shrank back in fear. He never chose the life of ease. He never chose to go with the flow and what everyone else was doing. He always boldly grabbed hold of the Father's plan through faith, even if it meant it was going to cost Him everything. He still said, "Not my will, but yours, Lord." And you know why He said that? Because He saw your freedom that was being purchased on the cross. He saw the grip of sin and death being demolished once and for all. So He counted it joy. He counted it joy because He was setting people free. No longer were they going to live by this old covenant that they could never get right. They were going to live by a new covenant by simple faith in Him. He made the way. He paved the way. He covered all your sin and shame and condemnation by His blood. And then He sent the Spirit. Because where His Spirit is, there's freedom. So He's calling you and I this morning to simply follow Him. Just like those monkey bars, just like that motorcycle, follow Him. You're going to be terrified at times. You're going to lose things at times. Don't look back. Don't hang on. Keep grabbing of what God has for you here and now today. He used the manna in the wilderness as evidence to prove that you can't hang on to the grace and mercy of yesterday. You can't hold on to the ways that you walked yesterday. Today's a new day. And there is a new choice ahead of us. The old is moldy. If you hang on to that, it's going to make you sick. Literally, that's what happened with the manna. But if you go out there into the unknown and you grab hold of the new thing, it's going to give you the sustenance that you need for today. Just for today. And double on the Sabbath. Woo! Double on the Sabbath. So, right now, together, we're going to remember the cost of freedom. Your freedom came at a super, super high price. Now, to take communion this morning, there is a requirement, because God has a requirement for all of us for all things. And the requirement for everything is just to trust Him, just to put your faith in Him. So this morning, if you've never done that, or if you're like, man, do I know I am that person hanging on, and I know my fall is coming. It's time to let go and move on. Grab hold of the new thing, and it can only happen through faith in Christ. So this morning, will you pray with me, and then come forward as the worship team comes forward and take the elements, and we're just going to give Him the praise that He is so worthy of. The praise that He is asking of you this morning, whether that's clapping or standing or kneeling at the altar, laying prostrate, whether that's grabbing a flag and waving it in the wind, whatever He is leading you to do this morning, give Him praise because He has made a way for you. He loved you so much. He wants to set you free from this addiction once and for all. But you gotta let go and grab hold of the new thing. It's on us. The only problem with God's new covenant remains us. What are we gonna grab hold of? We can grab a hold of that bottle, grab a hold of that pack. What are we gonna grab a hold of? We can grab a hold of our work because that's how we provide for our family and it's the only way. Or are we gonna grab a hold of Jesus? On my own, I'm not competent to do any good thing. But through You, I'm competent to do all things. Amen. So Jesus, we thank You for laying down Your life, not just on the cross, but every day You set aside time with the Father to do His will as an example for us. Jesus, each and every day, we want to take hold of freedom. We want to lead other people into your freedom. You've surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses. Let them witness me, God, going from bondage to freedom, boldly and confidently. Knowing I can't do it on my own. I'm not competent on my own. I'm only going to fail again. But through you, Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, I got this. I can do this. I'm grabbing a hold of it, and I'm letting go. Letting go of this rhythm of death and grabbing hold of this rhythm of life. Lord, give me an excitement for this new rhythm, this new freedom. Help me to enjoy it, to find new ways to experience it and encounter it, Lord, so that I can live an abundant life in your name. Amen.